Yes, Father, tonight, Lord, we bring our lives before you and we surrender to you, God. We surrender to you, God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just where you are, just pray for God to come into that difficult situation that's happening in your life. Those friends that doesn't know the Lord, pray for them. Because God's kingdom want to come there. God's kingdom is coming. God's kingdom is coming. Lord, we thank you that we have life, Lord. Because you are life. Thank you, Lord, for what we have, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our testimonies. Thank you for what has been shared already and what we can declare. All because of you, Lord. All because of what you've done in our lives. Such a privilege to be here tonight, Lord, and to worship you. To lift up your name, Lord. In the midst of everything that's going on in this world, in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, we can declare you are King. You are Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We love you, God. We worship you. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just realized that. Hi, everyone. I'm Yaku from Shofar Century City. It's a privilege to be here. And also during the worship now, it is as if we are in a bomb shelter. And I just believe it's actually a word for us. Because we are worshiping God in the midst of a war that's going on for people's lives. And we are privileged that we can come together like this and worship and sing. But there's a war going on. For many of us, there's a war going on in our hearts of things that God wants to do. There's maybe a war going on right now. And in the midst of all this war and everything, we can come together and we can worship God because He's alive. He gave us victory. But there's more people that needs to be saved. There's more people that's going to walk with us. That's going to share in the victory. And there's lives at stake. And it's what there's some of the things God is just speaking to me all the time recently is that there's lives at stake. And it's so easy to get comfortable. It's so easy just to go on with life. To come here and to worship and to sing and to forget about that there's actually a war. So that's why I'm saying this is a bomb shelter. It's actually, you can call it the bomb shelter. We come here, we get ammo, we go out. And we bring more in. Because there's a lot of work to be done. And God wants to do, He is doing amazing things through your life. To my life, He's done many great things. We've got testimonies, but there's more things that God wants to do. And I don't want to just be like a motivational speaker. As some people say, pastors are the best motivational speakers. They can tell you a lot of things and you feel good and then you can go on with your life. But that's not what it's all about. There's certain facts, there's things that there's life that we can get from God. That sets us apart from people that doesn't know God. There's hope that we've got. There's testimonies. I've seen, somebody asked me yesterday, one of my friends, and just asking about, okay, so we're serving the Lord. What has it done for you? How did it make a difference? And then I just think back, I said, for me, it's very simple. There's times where I prayed for things, and it came to pass. It was a business where I needed money. One sale overnight was more of more value than years of doing business. And being without job and fasting and then someone knocking at your door and say, you must come right now. Everything has gone wrong. The computer crashed. The backup is gone. The only guy that can work on the software has broke his leg. So you must come now. There's an opportunity. There's many different things. But you will know. There's things I wanted to do, and I had a bursary, and like a study loan, and yeah, no bursary, study loan. And one day there was just a check in my Bible, so that will cover the study loan. And things like that, and that's just, and I'm not saying this that we must feel good about ourselves or just feel good, saying that God is real. And I'm going to share a little bit where's our joy, because God's going to do amazing things in our lives. And there's a lot of things that he wants to do, but often we don't have joy. We start out well and we get psyched up and everything is good, and then things happen. You know when you stop at the robot and someone throw a bucket over the windscreen and they start washing the window, and you say, leave me alone, I can't see. And all that you're worried about, the light is going to turn green. And then you're supposed to drive, else somebody's going to hooting behind you and say, get out of my way. And sometimes you feel like that. We're still in our car and everything is great and you've got this amazing car that you've saved up for. But now somebody threw a bucket of water over your windscreen. So you don't know what's going on. You're confused and you're just getting angry. Say, Lord, what's happening? Where am I going? And then it doesn't help me to tell you that God wants to do amazing things through your life. Because you actually don't care. He said, this life is it's not great at the moment. I'm struggling here. And often we will struggle. I think what I'm getting challenged on right now is that we think everything must be sorted out. And then things are amazing. And then I can do something for God. So first I must sort out all this and this. My life must be in order. Maybe you guys don't feel like that, but sometimes I feel like that. Everything must be sorted out. And then I've got extra time and extra money and extra energy to do something for God. And I just think we are wasting a lot of time in the midst of all of this. There's opportunities that come and go, and we're just missing it. I've been in India earlier this year. The word that we received is just me and Pastor Gerard from Shofarpal. We just felt God tell us that we must go, and I sent that we must go to villages and a church conference. And then a mail came from India. I sent it off to Stellenbosch, then a mail arrived from a guy in India saying he needs a team for mountains and for villages and a church conference. So suddenly this at the right time, everything is happening. And then I thought we're only going in September. And he said, no, but his dates are set. It is a month from that day. And I told Pastor Gerard, said, this is a bit quick. It's like there's a lot of money and we must organize a lot of things. And he said, Jaku, it sounds like we need to go. So I said, okay, let's see. Let's plan it. Let's book the tickets. And then I received a mail from a guy in Shofar Secunda that says God is speaking to him about mountains and he's got a real sense that he must go. I said, okay, send me what God is telling you in the email. He sent it to me. I read it. I said, okay, you're going. We're going now in a month's time. Do you have leave? He said, yes, you can get leave. I said, this is what it's going to cost, $16,000. He said, not a problem. I'll pay it in. And zip, it's in. I said, okay, yeah, you're on. You're going. He actually jumped past us. We're still trusting for more money. And he was all paid up, ready to go. And then another lady in Paul, her colleagues, she decided she's not going to take leave anymore. Suddenly she had a lot of leave and she was able to go. So the four of us went and we went to the villages and it was hard work and we're very there in the mountains. They said to us, you get a note to ask, okay, so what is there? They say, we will trust God to stay in the houses with the people. And we can take some things for breakfast, oats packets or things, and open toilets. So Pastor Gerard said, Jaco, what's open toilet? I said, I don't know. Open toilets, probably it's not at your house. Just open it. It's like a public toilet. Everyone can use it. So it was literally open. You walk past all the houses till you get into the field. It's open. That's the toilet. So there was a bit of I said, okay, I thought maybe it's that open, but I didn't see this one coming. So it's open. So we've been there, and it was just amazing. But what I'm sharing, it is the word we got before we went, is that lives are at stake. And we're really trusting God for lives to turn, for people to turn in the villages to the Lord. Because there were only one believer that they knew of in the second village. And that guy was paralyzed. So, and he's the only one that got baptized. Baptism is huge. So it encountered, I know maybe you've got different, I don't know what you guys think, everyone. Maybe some of you here is not a member of our church, but we go under like a biscotti in coffee. And they just understood baptism is huge. I don't have to tell them the significance, the spiritual significance of baptism. They understood that. So at the last encounter, I told the guys, listen, man, this is we're in a war. This is life and death stuff, and we're busy talking about baptism and everything. I just said, who wants to get baptized? So two guys said, yes, they want to do it, and we did it. And because I've seen in India, people start, they decide to follow the Lord, and initially they will add God onto all their other beliefs. And they've got all the different gods. And I said, okay, but now follow this one only. Now that's a problem. And that's often what we do. We add Jesus onto all the other stuff that we like. And so it's easy to follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. But I still want to do all of these kind of things. But we don't see it as idols. We don't see it as a god. But actually it is. If your time and your money and your energy is flowing towards those things on a regular basis, then it's probably became an idol in your life, almost like a god. So we're doing the same thing. We're adding Jesus onto the rest of our lives. And then we just go on. And so in India, they're telling this to the guys, is the one God you must serve. And some of them, we had wonderful times in their homes, spending time chatting to them. You almost warm up as the outreach or the time we've been there. Every day, you get I call it a fitness. And initially, you get a bit tired of just sharing and praying for people all the time. But now I think we must just get fitter. It's like a fitness. So later on, you're just getting into it. It's like running. After a while, you can run far. And it's just start. And the thing, just with the lives that were at stake, they were trusting to bring some kids back from the villages to the church camp. And it happened. We brought about 7 back. Just walked out. It took us 2 days aeroplane, 1 night taxi, then in another taxi, and then last stretch you need to walk in because there's no roads to the villages. So luckily they had some donkeys. So it's quite a long journey to get there. And we got the kids back. Yo, and they got car sick. Man. They're not used to cars, and the roads are just doing this. In any case, it's just by on the side. And we got to the church camp, and some of them responded to the altar calls and to following Jesus. We prayed with them. We had a wonderful time with these kids. And just a few weeks ago, we heard the one girl, Amrita. She was 14 years old. She was the one, when we walked into the village, Chuba, the leader from India, he said, this girl can turn a village. This is what she can do. If she decides to follow the Lord, she can turn a village around. She can probably become the chief of the village. That was the potential that he saw in her. And she responded to the word and everything. She was at the church camp. And then a few weeks ago, she had a freak accident playing with friends, hit her head on the rock, and she died on the spot. And that made me to realize that lives are at stake. So today we know that she went to heaven. But it is easy to get comfortable, and I'm not telling these stories that we must now get psyched up. I just think there's a reality, there's something that we must think about more. We must talk about these things. Because sometimes God will tell you, or lay someone on your heart, or you'll think about something that you need to do, and then we must just do it. And it might not be easy, but God wants us, He wants to use us and work through us. And it won't happen if we first want to sort out our lives and get everything in place and make sure that everything is wonderful and I feel it freed up and that the house is painted and it's fixed, the car is fixed, and first I must have so much money that I can save this much each month. And these are all stuff that's part of our lives. I think in the middle of all of that, you say, okay, right, Lord, this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And that's a challenge for me. That's just fresh out of the oven stuff. Like, it's what God is speaking to me about. Because there's a lot of scriptures, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, God knows the thoughts that we have before we say it. He's involved in our lives. He's busy with us. He's got a plan for us. He's got big things for us, for all of us. Each one of us is unique. And there's something that you can bless people with that nobody else can do. You can bless him in a certain way. Something in your life is so special, it's unique, that God wants to use in somebody else's life. And I know there's things in our lives that we trust God for, and things that we want, the Lord must come and do this for me, and I think he will do it. Or maybe it won't happen. But how can we have joy in the midst of all the chaos? And the thing that I believe is holding us back is our sense of entitlement, where we say, I deserve this. I deserve this. I need this in my life. This must happen. Like, or you've served, you've done so many times set up, but nobody asks you. But nobody said thank you. Man, I deserve the thank you. And what's happening, it hardens our hearts. And it's something, there's a book by Dr. John Townsend, The Entitlement Cure. And he said entitlement is something that we choose. It's not like something that just happened. It's somewhere you choose to be entitled. You choose that I deserve better. I deserve this. I deserve that. And what it's doing is, it is actually, I believe, it's holding us back. It's preventing from us to do the things that God has called us to do. Because now you become offended, maybe. An offense, that word offense, it's scandalon. It is the bait in the trap. It's the bait. When you take that bait and you hold on to it, now you're offended. And we know that we become offended with God. The same God that blessed us, the same God that's doing all the miracles and all the great things. Now suddenly we're offended with God. And sometimes we've got a good reason, or we think we've got a good reason, to be offended. I'm not naturally tended to so easily to be offended. Maybe your personality type is different. Comes easier. But there's things that rev all of us. And these scriptures are actually at. I'm not going to show everything. Actually, it's just so much that I believe God is doing, and he's want to share with us. But there's what's in our heart, the things that's inside of us. Some some other time it's going to come out. What is going on in our hearts? Sometimes we are very surprised. The easiest way to notice that is when you're in traffic and someone is driving in front of you. And then, ooh, I didn't know I can say those things. And then everybody is hooligans and idiots. That's the things that we say. So how can you do that? No. And then you don't really have a lot of love for people. Especially not the guy in front of you. Because you are here. You've got a right to be here. He's got no right to turn in front of me. And somewhere in there, there's an entitlement coming in. And maybe, okay, this is just an example. This is me thinking stuff. But maybe God wants you to pray for that person or something. Or there was an opportunity that you can minister to that guy. Or you meet him later in a meeting. I don't think we're going to be very open for the word of God to come and bless this guy. We first want to tell him, you had no right to turn in front of me. I just want to settle that thing. And then I want to tell you that God actually wants to do something in your life. I just want to sort out that entitlement. And that's what we do. That's the world we live in. That's not the world I've seen in India and everywhere there. Because those guys, they are used to living in poverty. Most people in the world, I believe, are used to difficult circumstances. Most of them. So we are very blessed to have what we have in our bomb shelter and to come here and just to have our cars and our work and everything. This is an exception. So for us, it's a problem when things are going wrong in our lives that it becomes a big problem. And then you say, then our joy, the first thing that goes out is our joy. Then it's, that's gone. And that's what I realized. When my car broke and other things go wrong, suddenly I struggle to be joyful. I struggle just to think about other people. Because stuff has started to go wrong. And I realized that most part of the world, that is life. And then I thought, I'm so thankful the disciples didn't think like me. Because then Paul wouldn't have written any letters in prison. Because he would have thought, this is a bad place. And my life is this and this. And look what's happening. And how can this have happened to me? And I did all these things. And then we would have missed quite a lot. It's in the Bible. And Jesus, he was going through a tough time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, said, Lord, this is difficult. This is a lot of hardship. This is tough. This is difficult, but this is your way. And he had to walk through that. And often we want to walk away from the hard things. We think, no, it must be a good way. It can't be this. The last while I've prayed for, I think it was only one, maybe two people in the last while, that one that died, prayed for a person, trust God for healing, and she passed away. 5 small children. It was very bad. So on the one side, you're going to say, Lord, why did this happen? And obviously these things happen, and it's tough. And I believe if this has happened in our life, then and you can spend time with God and work through it, but maybe that answer is not coming. But God is still God. He's still our healer. So now I just want to pray for more people. So I remember Smith Wigglesworth, I think he said, I asked him, so how did you get it that so many people were raised from the dead? He said, I just prayed for many people. And some of them were raised from the dead. Because God is powerful. And we must not allow these setbacks to prevent us from doing what God has prepared for us to do. And allow our circumstances to to take hold of us and just grab us and steal our joy. And it is, I know that, I don't know your background, I don't know what's happening in your life. What I trust for there's a place where church must come and help, we must help one another, where there's community. That's a role of church, where people will see, wow, there's something different. Our circumstances is still very difficult, and things are still going wrong. But it's going to go wrong either way, if you're following God or not. Sometimes we think that we will be very happy if we follow God. And Jesus never said that you're going to be happy. And that's not his plan for us, that we will be happy and live ever after. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to become like him. He wants us to, that our character will build. And ultimately that we will know there's hope. There's a difference between us and the guy that doesn't know the Lord. I just realized the last week or so, is that we both have the same trouble. We like to tell people, no, just follow Jesus and everything is going to be amazing. Now, there's still a lot of bad things going to happen. But if you follow Jesus, you've got hope. If you don't follow him, then you just get depressed. Following Jesus, you got hope. Following Jesus, we get testimonies. We know God is real. We know we can trust him. Lucy, my daughter, she's 4 years old. And then she, some time ago, we prayed with her, and she prayed to follow Jesus, to become a child of God. And now she's just saying that she just want to die. I said, no, Lucy, why do you want to die? She said, because I just want to go to heaven and run to Jesus and jump in his arms. That's all that I want to do. So I just want to die. I said, no, you can hold on. And that's fine. Jesus will wait for you. But she understood that. And I realized this part of eternity is actually very short. And we can really advance the kingdom. Just doing things that God has prepared for us. It's there, it's available for us. And God will help us with our next steps. He will help us. I think he will put something in your heart. But I tell the guys in my church, I tell them, pray, spend time with God, come to me, tell me what God is telling you. Because God wants to do things through our church. We're not lone rangers, we've been put together. We're on a mission, we're in a war. And maybe he's speaking the same thing to a couple of us. Maybe the same word is coming to us. Then that's the thing where we need to run. Where we're going to see things are going to happen. Because that's what God has prepared for us. And that's good news. And God is speaking to us. And if you don't hear the Lord speaking to you, then please come. Let us pray together. Or pray with friends. Just ask him, because that's such an intimate thing. And it's really God's desire that you will know. The word said, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. God wants you to know his voice and what's ahead for you. My word is the light, the lamp unto your feet, the light unto your path, the word. God wants us to know what is the next step. But we get so busy with all the stuff that's happening in our lives. A little while ago, I listened. There was something on Focus on the Family. And it was this lady, Michelle, talking about hardship and what's been happening in her life. And she was sharing about everything was fine and she got the kids ready for school. And one morning she got a phone call that she's got cancer. And she couldn't believe what's happening. And she said she went from a state of just following Jesus to being very terrified. And suddenly all world is turned upside down and everything is miserable. And she said to God that, how can this happen to me? How can you do this to me? And you've got no right for this to happen to me. And what she realized is her life, she led a life where she said her life was a transactional basis. She said, she almost like she's built up credits with God. I'm doing a lot of good things. I'm going to church. I'm praying every day. I'm reading my Bible. How can you do this to me? That entitlement thing. And that, she said, that was a massive battle for her. And she realized that that's what she was doing. She had this transactional relationship with God. That if I do this, you must do this. I do this, you must do this. I do a lot of this, so I'm building up credits. So you must protect me and keep me back from all this. And she had cancer in her tongue. And now she's a public speaker and sharing a testimony. And God is still using her with everything that's happening in her life. And he's doing amazing things through her. But she first had to work through this whole thing of what was happening in her life. And if we go to the Bible, Luke 15, you know the story of the prodigal son. So the younger son, he asked for his inheritance. The custom in those days was the father can actually give, the custom was that he give double portion to the oldest son and then what's left or what he wants to for the younger son. Sorry. But he decided to just half-half and he gave a share to the younger son and he went off and he wasted all of that. And then he comes back. And you know, there was a feast and all the wonderful things that happened. And then we get to the older brother, Luke 15, verse 25. The oldest son was in the field and he came and drew near to the house. He heard the music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. So they found out his brother has come back. This brother that just wasted half of the inheritance and everything. And then verse 28. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends." He said, "I'm entitled to this and you didn't do this for me." And then when his son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost, he's found." And this is such a good example of this entitlement, where the brother is saying, "You've never done this for me. Look at all these years. Look at what I've done. Look at my life." And he was not able to celebrate with the father and what's happening in his brother's life and him coming basically to salvation. He was not able to celebrate. He just missed that whole miracle, everything, because of entitlement. And I think often we're missing things because of our own sense of entitlement. And God want to come and take us from this one part where we say, "I deserve to be better," to a place where we take responsibility to change things. To a place where we start looking around and see the needs of people around us and start to do something about it. Because that will cure us of our entitlement. That is just a start, where we start to serve people, start to look at the needs of people and do something about it. Because we think that everything must just be a blessing and must go well, but it might not be like that. And that's just one of the things. And what stood out for me about the disciples. He says they didn't look at their suffering as a punishment from God. That's what sometimes we do that. So why is this happening to me? And what's the reason, all of that? But they looked at the presence of God as an unexpected gift in the midst of their suffering. For disciples, for them, it was just all about Jesus, all about his presence, all about God being with them. That was their reward. That was what they desire, to be with God. That was for them the main thing. Not what's happening, and they must get rid of their struggles and must first sort out this. For them, the main thing was presence of God. Can I be with God? Is God with me? Am I connected? Then whatever is happening around me, it's actually fine. Because I can handle it. And there's hope. And I think that is something that, well, that's something that God is challenging me about. Is to, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of everything on the news, in the midst of everything that's going on in my life, and trouble and everything, to find joy in the Lord. Because the words say, in the presence of God, there's joy. Our joy is in the presence of God. But it's easy to, we hear it, we read it, but somehow it must drop. Somehow it must be real. Somehow we must be able to say, God, I've come to know you through my life. I know you, you are faithful. I know the battles that I fought with you. You've proven yourself. Help me to stay connected with you. Help me not to turn around now, to get offended, to harden my heart, to stay with you. Because God is walking with us through whatever we are going through. And I don't know what you are facing. Some of the stuff is massive. It's massive. It is huge. It's still a huge thing. But I say we can hold on to God. And he is faithful. He's a good God. John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation. The tribulation that is pressure, that is hard things, difficult things, bad things, those things are going to happen. Take heart is just be confident and courageous. Take heart. Don't lose hope. Let's walk together. Let's do this thing. Because why? Because there's stuff that God has prepared for us. He's made us fearfully and wonderfully. He made us unique. He's ready to partner with us to do things. And we get distracted. We lose our joy in the midst of everything that's happening. And I realize that if what happened to Job in the Bible, if that must happen to me, it'll be very bad. And there's a lot of stories of things that, of people whose lives really fell apart in the Bible. In the midst of all of that, they were able to hold on to God, walk with God, stay true to God, and they were walking through that. And I believe this is, God just want to take us to another level, or just something new, open our eyes that we don't believe that we must be happy and then we're in the will of God. Because it might not be so. Another from the book, The Entitlement Cure, one of the things Dr. John Townsend said is, he said he thinks it's just the hard way. God's way is often the hard way. And that is, if you take the hard way, there's certain things that's going to happen. It's going to be tough to make it happen. It's going to be not be comfortable. It's going to be the right thing. We will experience God's presence in it. We will experience his blessing. We will see how we advance the kingdom. But it will not come easy. So there's a hard way. There's the word is talking about the narrow path and the wide road. The wide road and the narrow path. And it's good to stay on the narrow path, but often that's also a hard, it's a difficult road to go. But it's a good place to be. It's a place where we can have joy. And I really want to encourage you with this tonight. Because often there's often an easy way out of something. There's often a place where we can say, I'm entitled to this. People must do this for me. You can be at work, say, this must happen. I must get the raise. I can just sit back and enjoy whatever is happening in my life because I deserve better. And it's a passive thing. Or you can say, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to work hard. And you partner with God when He wants to do. The same Michelle that I listened to about her story on Focus on the Family. She said when she was very young, she just prayed for her husband. That was her prayer. She prayed for a godly man, and she waited for him. And after many years, the guy came, and they got married, and it was amazing. And after 7 years of marriage, one day, he just walked out of the house, gone. And she said, God, how can you do this? Because this was my one prayer. The one thing that I prayed. And God told her that I gave, what she sensed God is telling her is that I gave people a free will. Because this is how I know perfect love, is when you choose me. This is how I know that people love me, they choose me. So they've got a free will and someone can also walk away. And she dealt with what happened. Obviously, it was very bad for her and everything. And she just changed her attitude from, I deserve better, I deserve that this may not happen to me, to a place where I'm going to take responsibility, I'm going to pray again, I'm going to find a good man. I'm not going to say I deserve it because I've prayed 7 years for it and sit back and think this must happen. She just changed her attitude and got married again and everything. But it was so easy for her to harden her heart and to stay at that place. To stay at a place where the devil can just come and just push her either way. And this is real life stuff. I know we all, there's always bad things happening and it is tough. It is difficult. But I pray that we will be able to just to look back at God. Because we live in a fallen world. We're all sinners. We all deserve grace. We don't really deserve it. We say we deserve it. But there was grace given to us. Freely given to us. It's available. And that's the world we live in. And often there's things that God has prepared for us. But there's a way to get there. There's a way to make it happen. And that's often linked to a hard way. It's not easy. That's maybe just how life is. Because we're in a battle. Sometimes there's a battle that we must fight in prayer. So we need to get up and pray. And we need to spend time in prayer and do something. That doesn't come naturally, maybe at first. Then we must create new habits to get things going and fight those battles. Because often the right way is a hard way. Because most people are taking the easy way out. And then they just add on some entitlement, say, I deserve this, so I can stay right where I am. And then it's very difficult to move them either way. And this is what's happening in our lives. So, I pray that we will really look for God's way and that we won't back off if it's a hard way. That we won't back off. There's things that I want to happen in the church where I'm in Shofar Century City. There's people's lives that I pray for, and what's happening is not good. And sometimes it's just, we must go visit them. We must spend time with them. We must reach out to them. And I say, man, sometimes you just want to sit back a bit, and things must just happen. It's not just going to happen. We need to go out and do stuff. We need to make it happen. But God is faithful. I believe we will have more testimonies once we start on this, that we say is a hard way, but it's the best way. It's the right place to be, where we will experience God in a new way. You will experience, then we will have testimonies that say, wow, my joy comes from God's presence. My joy is in the Lord. We won't just sing it. We will know it. Because certainly, it's not always our experiences and circumstances. It doesn't always show that everything is just wonderful and easy. But I've got a lot of faith for circumstances to change. And I've seen that. Because we have hope. Because we've got hope because of Jesus. So, when Moses, just want to find that scripture. When Moses was, he had a very nice life there in Egypt. But he had a thing, he felt in his heart, he wanted to get the Israelites out of here. Because they were being oppressed and everything. But he had a right to stay in the temple, to stay there, and had a right to a lot of things. And he wanted to get out of there, but first he wanted to do it in his own way. Just kill someone, knock them dead, and we start doing something. So that didn't work out so well. And then he was just running for his life. And God came and God showed him a new way. God showed him his way of how this is going to happen. And it was a hard way. It was not comfortable. He had to come back and he had to start to do all these miracles and all these things. And he said, Lord, I can't stand before people. I can't do all these things. I can't do miracles. This is all new for him. And God said, I am who I am. I will be everything that you need for this road. I will be that for you. And it is a hard way. So he was probably counting the cost. But the thing is, if you think about it, if there's not really a better place to be than with God. So we are always counting the cost, but that's the best place to be, right there with God. And then we know how we went through the desert and Israelites just moaning. When you have children, you'll understand it better. They just moan. And you get angry. And you must stay calm. Sometimes they must go to their room and you must go to your room, but everyone can calm down. And then after 5 minutes, you can talk again. If you're not calmed down, you must go back. Everyone. To calm down. And Moses was this day in the desert, exposed. But he had God. In the midst of all the moaning and all the chaos. And he said, Lord, this is tough. Lord, now I'm all these people and I'm the man. I'm your man. This is not easy. This is not how I thought this is going to be. And I think he had to find a way of finding his joy in the Lord. That's probably why he had his tent outside the camp. It's away from all these people. And just spend time with God on a regular basis. And hear from God. And then when God comes and you want to take them to the promised land. And he said, let's go. And then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. He was not prepared to move without the presence of God. Even though it was the promised land, what God has promised for them. He said, Lord, I need your presence. I need you to be with me. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What we want to do when we sort out all the stuff that's happening in our life, we want to preserve our life. You want to make sure that there's something left when we are old. You want to make sure that at least there's a car when there's something going wrong, the car is working. You want to sort out all the stuff to preserve our life. And God is saying, I'm the life giver. I am life. In me you will find life. So a lot of the stuff that we do is to preserve our life. I do the same thing. This is challenging for me. It says, you make known to me the path of life. So God is showing us the way of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And God is doing, He's already working, He's working right now, He's busy in our lives, He's doing a lot of things for us. He's doing a lot of things behind the scenes that we will never know about it. But He's busy. And He knows what He's put in front of us. He knows it's not only big stuff. Sometimes just phoning someone, reaching out to someone, telling someone at work, I've been thinking about you, I've prayed for you. Simple things. But sometimes these are hard things. But it's often the right thing. And my prayer is that we will be able to get to a place where we get past the entitlement, get past everything that I deserve. And I deserve this, and I've prayed enough. And now I must get this and this. That we can somehow move past the offenses. And say, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? That shouldn't have happened ever. And somehow just get back to Jesus. And say, Lord, you are enough for me. We fight a lot. Say, Lord, I fight so much. I've got so many questions. I've got so many things. But maybe just give God a chance to speak into your life. Maybe just give Him a chance to come and to comfort you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Amen. He wants to comfort us. He might not answer our questions, but He will comfort you. And there's comfort available. And this is a new place where I believe God wants to take us, especially us in the Western world. Because I think most of the people in the world understand hardship. Their life is full of hardship and things going wrong. And in India, in those villages, they've got one set of clothes and that's what they wear, and they pass it on to the family. And when they must get food, they must go out into the land and they want to get something special for us, then someone must go and find it. And they know, for them it's not nothing weird to talk about hardship, because that's part of their life. Because when I tell them about Jesus, I give them hope in the midst of the hardship. Then that's amazing. And they understood that. And for us, we first want to sort out all the stuff. And then say, okay, Lord, let's walk around. So let us stand. And basically, I just pray that we will, each one of us, we must just come to a place where we surrender again to God. Because God wants to give you joy. And right now, your joy might be coming from friends that are in your life right now, or things that are worked out, or that great job that you got that you prayed for. Maybe that's where your joy is coming from at the moment. All things that can change overnight. Maybe, I don't know where your joy is coming from. But it's probably all things that can change overnight. You can wake up tomorrow and your life can be very different. Something happened overnight. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. He's constant. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful. He holds us in the palm of His hands. He doesn't change. So when we find our joy in Him, you will have joy everlasting. You will have the ability to have joy even when things are going wrong. Even when the guy drives in front of you in the traffic. And that's what I believe. We must just come to a place where we're just real with God. Say, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. And surrender some of these rights. Some of these, I deserve better. Or I deserve this. Of Lord, I've come early to church for 5 years. And the one time I was late, they tell me I must not be late. I deserve better than this. I've told guys in our church, I've said to them, they're doing set up and everything, and then I said, just come and sit in church. The guy was running all over. He said, just sit in church, just connect with Jesus. And stop hiding stuff and stop running around. So tonight, it's very simple. I believe we must surrender our lives again to the Lord. We must ask the Lord to show us where we become so entitled, where we choose entitlement. We said someone else must do it, Lord. Someone else must go there. I don't have to. Because why do we want to get this right? Because there is a place where we will have joy in the Lord. Joy in the presence of God. It's available for us. And there are things that God has prepared for us that we're going to walk in. And we're going to see amazing testimonies. You guys are going to share testimonies here that we can't even imagine. That's what's going to happen. Well, let's sing a song. While we're singing, our lives are busy. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of places to go. But let's just use the time to respond to what God is doing. Before we start thinking about all the other stuff, let's just take a moment while we sing and talk to the Lord. Share with Him what's on your heart. Share with Him your battles, your questions, why you're angry. God is our Father. He wants to. He's listening. He's listening right now. Do business with the Lord. It's not about us and what's happening here. It's about opportunity to respond to an Almighty God that's speaking to us, and He has been speaking to us now tonight. Sometimes we don't know where to start. Sometimes we don't know where to start. What's the next step? It's tough. It's lonely. And I just sense that there's family here, there's people here. That's what church is for. And we can come to a place where we're just real about this is what's happening in my life, this is what's going on. And we can pray together with people. And we can just get honest. This is what's going on in my life. And some of us, we will have to start to share and say this. Else, whatever is going on is just going to come out in any way. God want to do something special. And maybe you want to pray with someone, or maybe you need prayer. Then just do it. We're going to be in front. I would love to pray with some of you. So please come. I just want us, we're going to sing the song again. Just standing together and trusting God for that you will know what is the next step. Maybe there's just I just sense that some of us we will have to start to share, almost take hold of the community of what's available. It's not Him. God is going to work in your life through the people around you and start doing something special. But what we do when we get offended or everything, we isolate ourselves. want to hide. You want to run away. Don't do that. Let's just sing that song one more time. And then please, if you want some prayer or want to pray with me, please come. Let us just give God an opportunity to do something special in our lives. Father, we worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are with us in our boat, in the storm, and it's fine. Thank you, Father, that you know you are with us. I pray, Father, that each one of us, that we will see you, God. We will see where you're moving, Lord. We see what you want to do. And help us, God, I pray that you will help us to go past our offenses and our entitlements. Where it will be okay to be on the hard way because we are with you. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Thank you that you stay the same. Thank you that you are Almighty God. We worship you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.